aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the William Barr testimony earlier today.
I was too.
And I started my own drinking game. Now, before you stop and say, oh, Ro, do you have a problem?
Do you have a life?
I do. I have a number of problems.
That's true. That's true. But you've been problem-laden
this year.
Yes. 2019 has started out on a problematic front.
Totally. There's nothing in 2019 is going my way. But at some point it will. At some point, that's why I'm dressed, for people watching CLTV today, that's why I'm dressed like a police sketch.
Like you're in the witness protection program.
I am today wearing clothing as though I were, as though this is the suspect.
It's true.
Right.
The bank robbery,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, something, yeah.
I know, I was like, who's the homeless guy with the hat walking the hallways?
I know.
Who is that? I was like, who's this guy?
I look completely homeless today.
You pull the hat look off.
Though. I left my house early this morning, started running these errands, taking care of this. There's a little bit of a family issue going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been taking care of a family member who's in need of that care.
Yep.
And it has become all consuming. So as I've been doing it, I love him, and I'm very happy to be able to do this for him, but there's a lot to do here,
and it's not easy.
and I didn't get anywhere until I was gonna go home, shower, get ready, come back, and present myself for CLTV and all the audience listening on the radio who knows if I'm dressed up or not based on how I sound.
You kind of tell,
yeah. And now I look like I've been literally shoveling poop today. Is what I've been doing.
You planned to shower, right? You just didn't have time.
Yeah. No, I've been dealing in that business today. So anyway, so that's why I'm here. That's how I'm here.
Got to do it.
And that's why I look like a police sketch artist rendition of a suspect. So I'd like to. So for those of you watching on CLTV, that's exactly what's going on.
I thought it was a little hipster myself.
Yeah, it's hipster meets wanted. Is what it is.
It kind of is. Because it's sort of nondescript. You know, that's the thing about it. You got the black sort of nondescript windbreaker jacket sort of thing. And the hat that you're not really sure what it is.
Yeah, it's got logos, though. That's the problem.
Down over
the
eye.
Is it like a Loyola baseball cap?
Is that what that is?
No, it's Denison, actually.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red, yeah.
I thought Loyola, too.
There you go. I know. It's the Loyola colors, but it's Denison. So, anyway, the point here is this. That there's a lot to get to. So in the middle of all this, I'm listening to or watching, like on hospital TVs, the bar hearings. And I will say this, that I think this is the best. This is the best that any of the Trump nominees have done so far.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
He seems fairly unflappable.
And not only is it the best he has done, as anybody has done, he has the best excuse ever.
What's the
for why you should confirm me as the new attorney general?
Because I didn't want the job in the first place.
That's part of it. I'm old. I'm going to die soon. And I don't care. Is basically what his... I've had a great life. He said that at one point.
He did.
I've had a great life. I've really enjoyed it. So if this is how I have to go out, I'm willing to do it. Which means if I were the president hearing that...
Mm-hmm.
I'd pull the confirmation because that means that he might actually, if things get really bad, try to strangle the president in the Oval Office. And I would, that's it, because he was basically, based on what I heard, we're going to try and talk to Dick Durbin a little bit later on the program. He was scheduled to appear, but you know, with all these things going on, sometimes these things don't work out. So I don't want to promise, but there's a possibility we'll talk to him. We're certainly going to talk to other people from Washington about this. The thing that I find most interesting is that he has not said anything that the president would feel good about here. The idea that, oh, he's going to keep Mueller absolutely is going to go all the, yeah. Yeah, Mueller, yeah. And the people paid for it, so yeah, they're probably going to see the report, yeah. I mean, there were a lot of things in here that I thought the president doesn't want to hear. Now, does he have to recuse himself? He's like, nah, I don't think so, but that doesn't necessarily mean he won't. Imagine if he becomes the Attorney General and recused himself. Hey, Rosenstein still handles all of this. Or Weinstein.
Right.
Rosenstein, guy. Yeah.
Well, he also said it would be a breach if the president tried to intervene in any case involving his family members or business associates and that kind of thing. He believed that would be a breach.
Yeah.
Also, it's known Mueller for 30 years.
Yeah. Their wives are best friends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm. That's a good one.
I love how he said too at one point, and I tried to turn it down, and I tried to tell him two other guys that I thought were better than me and pick them, not me, and then, you know, this happened. It just...
Yeah, so there you go. That is your new Attorney General. I think Democrats are going to jump over themselves to appoint him right now. The funny thing about this is that even the, I got to hear a little of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Doing the, you know, her interrogation. Well, and that's what she's like a sideshow. She's like, you tune in just to see her be Madam Prosecutor, Madam District Attorney.
She's excellent.
And do that. And even she was like, okay. So by the time it was over, she ran out of steam. Like, yeah, okay. That's all right, fine. You got me. Cory Booker, at one point, I thought Cory Booker was going to buy him lunch. At one point, it was almost like, yeah.
He got a little contentious.
Yeah, but then at the end, right, but at the same sort of, it wasn't like contentious before.
No.
It wasn't like Kavanaugh.
No. This was nothing like that.
This is the guy that is the exact opposite of Kavanaugh. I know it's two different jobs. Supreme Court is very different than Attorney General, because this is a short-term thing. The attorney generals in the Trump administration last an average of 6 hours before he starts tweeting about them negatively. Right? So that's that. So it is going to be what it is. I'm just watch the Twitter account today to see where it goes. And if you turn on the CLTV, you'll see me in the witness protection program. All of those things coming your way. All right, let's check in. Stay everybody where you are at this very moment. Let us check in with Kim. Then we're going to talk to Ben Bradley coming up here in just a moment for the WGN-TV newsroom. Important things are happening there as well. All of the mayoral candidates, a bunch of them are showing up at the Tribune today.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were dressed like me. I wonder if they're dressed as the homeless, as they were doing.
They want to dress up for something like that, meeting with the editorial board. You know, you kind of want to take the ball cap off, I think.
I think there's at least one guy there's at least one homeless guy running for president. I mean, for mayor. And one running for president eventually, too. All right, hold on. Here we go. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Row, the Chicago Teachers Union preparing for contract negotiations.
The road trip swings into SoCal. The Bulls hit Hollywood as Lowry and the boys lock horns with the Lakers tonight at 9:30 on WGN-TV.
Ben Bradley is joining us from the WGN-TV newsroom.
Good afternoon to you guys. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Ben.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Benjamin.
So last night at 9 o'clock, I'm sure you saw it because I know you all watched the WGN News at 9. Our Tom Negevin reported a couple of incidents up at Alpine Valley Ski Resort, like the place we all learned to ski. I mean, it was like the quintessential high school field trip as a kid.
Hookup spot.
Yeah.
It was the kind of place where, like, if you had family that wanted you to go skiing, this was not my family. They did not want me to go skiing. But I had friends who would go up there and get, you know, they would always fall in love with some girl on the ski slopes that was exotic because she was from Wisconsin.
And you felt like you were in Switzerland.
Yeah.
Alpine Valley.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Just like that. Like,
yeah. Anyway, yes, and what about them?
So we heard from a couple of moms who had reported that their kids had gone down a large hill, and at the bottom of it, there's this creek, and skiers are supposed to go over a bridge to go over the creek to get back to kind of the little lodge. Well, kids have been ending up in the creek because there's only one of those, like, plastic, meshy construction fences.
You don't want to hit that with your skis.
No, that doesn't stop you on skis too well.
No, and in fact, some say it actually kind of will wind you up, and then as you fall down into this creek, you've got this plastic fence around you, which makes it even harder to help yourself get out of the water. So, you know, when we first saw this, we reported on it. A mom had done an interview talking about how it happened to her son. She'd posted on Facebook. And then other people jumped in and said, wait, this happened to our child as well. So we reported that last night at 9 o'clock. Today, Alpine Valley finally got back to us, and they admit that there have been instances. Four people went into that creek last year, three people the year before. Now, they say of the 200,000 skiers Alpine Valley sees each and every year, that's a very small number. Not if you're one of the kids.
You know, so right. You have a couple people in a creek,
that's
right?
That's like an aviation expert going, hey, well, once in a while, you know, plane's going to crash. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, thankfully, all these kids were okay. One had hypothermia. Oh. Others now have no interest in you know, skiing.
Ever returning.
But Alpine Valley says, hey, this is the best scenario that we know to stop people. You know, if we put up some sort of permanent barrier, like a wall, that'll cause even more injuries because people will, you know, collide headfirst into a wall. So they have no plans right now to change that plastic fencing, and they remind people that there is a skier's responsibility to not get out over your skis and basically ski on terrain that you can handle. But we all know from being up there that for a lot of people, this is their first experience on skis.
Is it quite a fall? I see this bridge connecting sort of that to the two areas from the ski slopes to the, you know, the area where you go in for a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
But if you hit into this, is there quite a steep
incline? So it depends how much snow is on the ground. But yeah, it's several feet, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 feet. One mom said it was almost 10 feet. The creek itself is not very deep. But, you know, it's not always frozen. One mom we spoke with just a little bit ago, getting her reaction to Alpine Valley's decision not really to do anything additional about this danger, you know, said that the creek was frozen when her kid wound up on it. Ooh. But, yeah, they had to call in ski patrol to help essentially pull them out of this area. A mom that Tom Negevin talked with yesterday said the creek was not frozen over, and her son suffered from hypothermia because they took him a little while to get out.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting about Alpine Valley, too, because Alpine Valley was family-owned and operated for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now one of the big Colorado companies that runs Vail and a number of other places bought it.
Is that Alpine Valley or is that Wilmot?
You're right. Okay.
Very
Forget
close
it.
To each other.
Never mind.
But no, you're absolutely right. And I thought that was fascinating, too, the consolidation in the ski business where you had these major operators from Colorado buying what we think of as this little mom-and-pop hill up on the Wisconsin-Illinois line.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. I wonder though. Is Alpine Valley just owned by the people who originally started the Alpine Valley?
I don't know the answer.
All right, we're gonna find. You know what? You'll be hearing from them, so I'm sure you'll find out.
You'll get some official letterhead. We'll explain exactly who's involved.
At least hear from their representatives.
Please don't encourage that. Yeah. But yeah, we're updating the story, and we'll have much more on that for you today on the WGN News at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Also, a couple of these cold weather stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you saw that video on the morning news today of this guy who apparently had a couple of pops and decided it'd be a good idea to go for a dip in the Chicago River.
Yeah, that was on purpose. This one, he jumped in.
Yeah. Yes.
Strong swimmer, I could make it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot. Yes. So he is incredibly lucky. The video is amazing. People who were there, a security guard and some police actually helped him get out of the water. They threw one of those rings down to him. You always think, boy, how long have those been sitting in the glass there on the bridge?
Do they work anymore?
Yeah. Will when you expose them to air, will they just crumble?
Yeah, but it worked though.
Right now on CLTV, we're looking at this video of them pulling this guy out.
The coppers too afterwards. I mean, this is, you know, this they were doing the right thing.
They
did the right thing. So yeah,
so
very
we've got
good.
That for you. And then a train rescue out in the suburbs. Guy nearly gets hit by a Metro train.
Ooh.
He was rescued. So we've got that story, plus the latest from Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Ben.
Do you not want me to... Do you want me to stop talking now?
Yeah, I got to stop. You got to stop talking now.
All
right.
Boy.
Too much winding your way around Alpine Valley, wasn't it? And then thinking about, I just remember being a kid up there.
No, it was never a romantic spot like it was for you, bro.
All right, I got to go. I got to go, Ben.
Very different experience.
I got to go.
I'm still going to keep talking.
Got to go. All right.
Bye, Ben.
Thank you. Bye, Ben. We got Tim Gordon.
So anyway, this
is the news in 2 minutes.
Would you say you have a close relationship with Mr. Mueller?
I would say we were good friends.
Would you say that you understand him to be a fair-minded person?
Absolutely.
Do you trust him to be fair to the president and the country as a whole?
Yes.
When his report comes to you, will you share it with us as much as possible?
Consistent with the regulations and the law, yes.
Do you believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt against anybody?
I don't I don't believe Mr. Mueller would be involved in a witch hunt.
All right. That's William Barr, the nominee for Attorney General, up on Capitol Hill today. The Senate confirmation hearings. Lindsey Graham asking him the questions. Obviously, Lindsey Graham was reading those questions off of a prepared piece of paper. I don't know who wrote those questions for him, but he seemed a little unfamiliar with some of them. Mm-hmm. But he got the answers that I think a lot of people in America were looking for. Shannon Bream joins us from the Fox News Channel. She is an anchor, and of course, she is a recovering attorney, as I seem to recall. you've covered the Supreme Court and the Justice Department for Fox News for a long time. So, you think William Barr is doing pretty well?
I do. Listen, this is a guy who does not want the job, and those are the best people in Washington to actually go through this kind of stuff. He's very unflustered. You know, he says, listen, I won't be bullied by anybody, editorial boards, Congress, the president, you guys sitting here on the Senate Commission, Senate Committee. You know, he said, basically, when they came to me to be AG, I gave them a list of names of other people, because I don't need this. I'm 68. I've had this long career. So, he says, maybe back in my 40s or 50s, I would have been intimidated by this position, but I've done it before, and I'm ready to roll. So I think him being kind of a cool customer is definitely to his benefit in this kind of scenario.
He certainly has a history of giving more to conservatives than to Democrats, and that's fine. People are allowed to give whatever they want to. But I think the questioning that we've heard a lot of today is, does he have respect for the special counsel's office, and would he be blindly loyal to this president and every whim and fancy? And it's interesting because he has quite a relationship with Mueller. He's Mueller attended his daughter's weddings. Their wives went to Bible study together. There seems to be mutual respect. He's known him for years, decades even, and they're friends. Seems that he would be respectful of what the job is that this special prosecutor has to do.
Yeah, and it's funny because he refers to Robert Mueller, which we're so used to formally referring to the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and he keeps saying Bob. I mean, they've been friends forever, 30-plus years, as you mentioned. And so, yeah, he's continually saying, like, this is a guy of integrity. I trust him. I'm going to stay out of his way. Will you give him the resources he wants? Yes, of course. There's been a lot of parsing about what happens as the final step. Who has the final report that goes to the public? You know, and he's talked about the fact that there are limits in a regulatory and a statutory way about what he can reveal, what Mueller reveals, but he's repeatedly used the same line over and over. I'm going to push for as most, accurate transparency that I can give you under the law, because I think it helps the American people, it helps Congress, it helps everybody get a resolution if they see as much of the Mueller report and the underlying material as possible.
You know, you wonder how the White House staff is reacting to this so far, because the president, even though I think there's a lot of people go, well, this is our guy, and he seems to be doing very well, and it appears to me, as an objective observer, that he's going to sail through this. I haven't seen anybody raise the kind of confirmational objection that or put up a big enough issue that he's been stumped by. So it seems pretty evident that he's going to get through here, but he also isn't saying the kinds of things I think that the president necessarily wants to hear. And the president, as we've known, is a little mercurial. I'm being, I think, generous when I say that. And you never know from minute to minute where he's going to go with this. So I wonder if the White House staff is like, well, he's doing a good job. We're going to get him through. But is that really going to be okay? Because remember how he wanted Jeff Sessions and then turned on Jeff Sessions within a few minutes. Because, if an AG does one thing that doesn't appear to be Trump's lawyer himself, as opposed to the Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah, and you probably heard Senator Durbin, one of the top Democrats, obviously, in the Senate and on this committee, a longtime guy. He said, I consider you a rational person. Let me remind you and walk you through what Senator Jeff Sessions has been through. Right. Why in the world would you put yourself through that? Like, why are you willing to do this after you saw him get berated and belittled and beat up by this president when he broke with the way the president would have done things with respect to that recusal over the Russia investigation? And Barr said, listen, I'm not worried about it. The only reason I'm doing this is because I think I can actually help. I care about the Department of Justice. I care about the people there. You know, he's done a tour of duty there before many years ago in various positions. And he said, I actually think I can help, which is the only reason I'm willing to put myself and my family through this. So he seems to come at it from a very genuine place, a place of public service, and saying, you know, I see problems and I want to help rebuild morale over there. I also want to help reestablish to the American public that they can count on these institutions. So I was going to go off and have a great retirement with my wife and my kids and grandkids. But I think right now this is more important.
there's a the recusal questions did come up as well. There seemed to be some Democrats who were calling to say would you recuse yourself if ethics officials had advised you to do this based on you being nominated by this president? Would you recuse yourself? And he seemed to say, well, tell us what he said to those questions, because it didn't seem that he was open to that.
Yeah, I mean, there was at one point where he agreed that what Sessions did was probably the right decision for him. But, you know, they're very fact-specific situation right there, because Sessions had meetings with the Russian ambassador, as had most senators in Washington, D.C., and certainly as somebody who's part of a campaign. So that wasn't unusual, but the fact that, you know, Sessions hadn't talked about it as openly as some people thought he should, I think he tried to clear the air as the AG by saying, listen, I'm not going to complicate this for everybody. I'm just going to recuse myself. Barr actually comes in from a very different place, and there are people who said, listen, you've already weighed in on part of this. You wrote this unsolicited memo back in June. But I got the feeling he's not planning to recuse on anything to do with Russia. He doesn't feel too entangled.
Well, I think that's interesting, why he wrote that in the first place. And his answer to that question today was kind of in along the same vein, Shannon, as you're talking about, which is that, yeah, listen, I'm old. I've lived a great life. I just want to, you know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going down like this. I'm going to do it. It's my duty. The United States of America has been great to me. And so I'm going to give back. That's kind of what his answer has been.
Yeah.
But the, you know, volunteering with that memo, it seemed a little odd. And you kind of wonder, I know there are people and lawyers, again, I am not besmirching your first chosen path. But I am
just... And I get pilloried as a lawyer and as a member of the media,
yes,
so I'm very used popular to being a punching bag.
Yeah,
just
so
bring it on.
Just prepare. So, the you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, are just, they're very wonky about the law. They love it, right? And they sort of live and breathe the idea of constitutional analysis and all the rest of the things that go along with it. And every once in a while, a guy will see an issue, go, you know, I gotta write an amicus brief because I got nothing better to do today. And that appears to be his case. Now, you know, does that require recusal? No, it's an opinion. And as an attorney, and he answered, I thought, that pretty sufficiently, that as an attorney, you know, in private practice, that was my thought. But as attorney general, I got different rules.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time, because people go on shows when they're part of a law firm or something else. They'll write op-eds. They will write these unsolicited legal memos. I mean, if we kicked out everybody in Washington from being available or, you know, a credible nominee for a higher office or position around here in D.C., there'd be no one left, because they all do this stuff. And, you know, I got a call when that memo was going to surface, not long before it did, and said, listen, this is coming out. I want you to know this is the Barr side of the story. And basically said to me, he did not write it as an audition. The president never discussed it with him. He went and had this in-depth conversation with the president about becoming attorney general. He was very hesitant, but once the president offered him the job and he accepted, he did then say, I need to flag this memo for you guys. It's going to come up. But he says the president never talked to him about it before offering him the job. It was not a condition. It was not a connection, at least as far as Barr is concerned. He said they didn't talk about it until after.
Watch the Twitter feed tonight. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd start watching the Twitter feed around 7 o'clock Chicago time. Mm-hmm. Tucker comes on. Then 8 o'clock. I'd watch it even more. Now, tonight, Shannon, you'll see her tonight at 10 o'clock. Fox News at night. So
thank you
so much for being with us. I know you got a busy day. Thank you.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you. Great to chat with you guys.
All right. Shannon Bream, Fox News Channel. I think right around Hannity will probably say something sideways, or Tucker for sure will.
Do you notice? I notice morning tweets from him more than evening tweets. But lately you're saying evening?
Oh, he's done the evening. Yeah, you know, he does sort of the overnight. It depends on what he's got going at night. Maybe he's got something. Does he have? Is he having Burger King again tonight for somebody?
Yeah.
Has he got something going on tonight where he's going to have a team in? Did you see what he did?
He had the Clemson
football team in. They say you're the best football team of all times. And he got them all fast food because of the government shutdown, because the kitchen is closed through the government shutdown. So he ordered in fast food, did it myself, paid for it myself, put it on my credit card.
Best food in the world.
Black card.
I think you'll agree.
Black card.
Did he say that? Please.
Some of those football players were stuffing their pockets with cheeseburgers. I think some of them were loving it.
So you think they were? So they were into it.
Some guy had like 4 Big Macs on one plate.
Kevin, you just said you're loving it.
That's right.
Get it? Speaks the lingo.
Yeah. Yeah, loving it. Yeah, we got it. Anyway, the point here is that we have a moment where this is the thing about Donald Trump, who was born not with a silver spoon in his mouth, but like he was born with a Tiffany's store in his mouth. I mean, he was that initially successful at birth, right? And then he turned that into more. So congratulations to him on that. But he plays himself as this, you know, just an average Joe, and he totally connects. And he connects with an average Joe by doing stuff like that. It is amazing to me.
It is.
That people buy that.
I don't think it's disingenuous. He loves fast food, but there isn't anything that's average Joe about him.
Right.
At all.
Right. Well, he loves fast food, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, if you didn't have a wife telling you not to eat it, and he doesn't have a wife telling him not to eat it, I'm sure his wives have been encouraging him to eat it.
Well, he said Melania Trump and Karen Pence could have made salads for them because of the shutdown. We didn't have, you know, ability to make food, but they were going to do salads. But I don't think these players want salads, so we're going to do fast food.
How do I make salad?
What are you doing salad?
What do I have to make salad? All right. Good luck on everybody here. Let's check in right now. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Alderman Ed Berg won't be in court on extortion charges until after the election.
Hmm. I think he's going to win that election, by the way, for his aldermanic seat. I'd like to be the guy who wins that. If he doesn't, look out. Look out for that guy. All right, let's check the traffic. Jen DeSalvo's got the traffic brought to you by TSA PreCheck. Coming up in just a little bit, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, I want to, this story just popped, and I'm...
It's incredible.
It really is incredible. New York Times is reporting that El Chapo's drug cartel paid $100 million in a bribe. You're like, well, who would they pay $100 million to in a bribe?
$100 million.
To the president of Mexico. Enrique Peña Nieto, remember him?
We do.
He was the guy, the well-dressed guy who looked like an executive from like Comcast or something. You know, it was like you see the CEO of something on CNBC, and that's exactly what he looked like.
I mean, stunning testimony. This is his right-hand man, Alex Cifuentes, who's obviously turning on his old boss, and $100 million. It's incredible to the president of Mexico. I just
how do you
pay that?
What does one do with $100 million where it's not obvious? He had great suits. That's the one thing about Peña Nieto.
He did.
He was very well dressed. So there's that. So we got that.
So that's going on.
Yeah. Now, is it that easy to pay off a president?
You've always heard about payoffs from, you know, drug lords, but my gosh.
And what was
that number to the president?
And what do you get for $100 million bucks? So the president, I've been thinking about this. So if this is all true, then if you're going to change the style of law enforcement in the entire nation of Mexico to accommodate the traffic network of El Chapo and help them, you're going to have to pay a lot of bribes along the way. So does that mean the federales that Nieto was taking the $100 million and also bribing federales along the way and the army and everybody else is involved in that? People have been to Mexico. You know, it's like a alphabet soup of different law enforcement agencies and nationalized law enforcement agencies, because you got the federal police, you've also got the military, there's all kinds of different pieces that. And you know, you're never quite sure. Like, you go into a town in Mexico, a smaller town, and if something happens, you don't know who to go to, because they got local police, they got state police, they got federal police, and they all have their own. They have their own cars that are driving around doing different things. And then if you go in, and let's say your wallet was stolen or something, you go in and you talk to them about it. They'll say, "Oh no, you got to go to the other one." And then you go to the other one, you get, "Oh no, you got to go to that one." And it's like it's like pinball. It's like law enforcement pinball. There, it is pretty frustrating for people who've had issues in Mexico with, you know, small things.
Well, and now you have a president who's trying to, you know, be a reform president against a system that really hasn't been working in that direction. And you hear all kinds of things about fuel shortages right now as he's trying to stem the theft of fuel. So people don't have gasoline. They're waiting in line hours and hours for gas. I was just talking to a friend this morning. Her parents are in Mexico. They say this is a real issue, and it's part of the system that just is going to bring them to reform. But right now, it's a difficult process.
Wow.
Difficult process.
And this is the big season for Americans going down to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, from Christmas all the way through Easter. Right? I mean, this is a big, big deal. So people are going down there. Just remember, if you really want to get good service, have $100 million and give it to the president.
It's hard to fathom.
Other piece, too. I don't know. You watch that Narcos show?
Mm-hmm.
I see it on the Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because all that stuff. This is where I've gotten to a point where I'm not sure if I'm watching Netflix, Amazon or Hulu. I don't know at any given moment what I'm watching.
It is hard to know.
But the Narcos show, it's like, you know that...
Netflix original.
This guy is going to, without question, have a very interesting life. This Cifuentes guy who is testifying against El Chapo.
Yeah, you wonder. You have this. What's going to happen?
Where do you go from there?
Oh, my gosh. Witness protection program. But it's amazing. This is kind of an admission under oath from his former right-hand man.
Yeah. I myself today am in the witness protection program, by the way. People are watching CLTV.
You look like it, Ro. It's not the normal Ro look.
No.
You just kind of come off of TV and you come in here. You're well-dressed, shaved.
Today. Not today.
You've got a little bit of
today. Got a little,
the hat over the eyes. And
I got a thing going. And it's all for for good purpose. It's all for good reasons. Because I'm doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. But still, I am dressed as though I am I'm going undercover on a drug sting, and not in Mexico.
No.
All right. Coming up on the program. Speaking of also on the international front, Theresa May. Why do we have to call her Theresa May?
I guess that's her name.
Why do we have to sound British when we say it? Theresa May, over from by there.
Why, you hear Theresa?
People are going, Theresa May's government is in great decline. You know, and I'm like, what? Why does everybody, when they're talking about this, have to sound like the British? Point is that there's a big problem. There's a gigantic problem.
Mm-hmm.
England's about to explode. It's all crumbling underneath. And it's a really interesting story because this was the 6 months before Donald Trump got elected. Right, this was the big stunner on the world stage.
Yeah,
that the British people decided that they were going to take Great Britain and take it out of the EU. Right, they voted for that, and they're like, and there was a surprise like it was here. Like, who was voting for that? We were really voting for that, and then it turns out that the Russians were behind that as well. Right, the Russians were trying to influence the vote by getting into the social media consciousness there, mm-hmm. and they were very effective in it. Well, now the British are trying to unwind what happened there, and it's the whole thing is imploding. And what is that going to mean for the stock market and all the rest of it? And that all it's close of business in England today. Tomorrow morning is going to be very interesting London time. So we'll get you caught up on that coming up. But first, we've got Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I have to. We're gonna sort of take you across the pond here for this moment because this is a story that I think a lot of people have been paying a lot of attention to here because we got a lot going on here.
We do lots to pay attention to, like the government shutdown, for example.
But the global markets have been watching this story out of England for the last 2.5 years, which is the Brexit vote. Remember, the Brexit vote happened, I think it was July of 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was a shocker that the people of Great Britain chose to exit from the EU. But they didn't really have a very good plan. Remember, there was a guy, that Boris guy with the, and again, guys named Boris. Too many guys named Boris involved in all of this. I just want to say that. So it seems that they had And there was a whole years long campaign to get people to vote against the EU. Get out. We don't need it anymore. They're stealing from us. They're ripping us off, which is exactly the same thing, right, that you hear in American politics about NATO. Right. Or you hear it about any of the other the NAFTA agreement treaties writ large. It's constantly they're ripping us off. We're doing the, you know, we're paying for everybody else. Why would we do that? Well, that was the exact same argument that was being made in England in the spring and summer of 2016. And by a very narrow margin, the British voted to exit the EU. So you had the Brexit. Problem is they didn't have a plan for how to get out. And the plan changed. And all of a sudden, right after the vote, there were people who went, wait, what? Very similar to what happened in November of 2016 in the United States. Like, whoa, people start paying attention. People who didn't think about voting realize they should have, probably, if they didn't agree with it. And there has been a huge fight in England about this ever since. And so now, Theresa May, as people are having to say now, we have to relearn how to pronounce her name, who is the prime minister, who became the prime minister after this whole thing happened, has been trying to come up with a split the baby kind of a Brexit plan, and the whole thing has failed. And now what happens? Anne Applebaum is joining us, and she is with the Washington Post Global Opinion Desk and a columnist, Pulitzer Prize winner, I might add. And what does this mean now? There's going to be a no-confidence vote, right, for Theresa May. She may lose her job.
Yes. I mean, I think before getting into that, we should emphasize what an amazing loss it was. So she lost by more than 200 votes. It's the biggest loss for any government that anybody can remember. People going back to the 1920s to try and find a bigger government catastrophe. But even then, the numbers aren't quite as high. So it's really a big disaster. She's spent 2 years negotiating this deal. And the parliament, including hundreds of MPs from her own party, have rejected it. So it's a pretty big setback. And the strange thing is people voted against it, both because they want to stay in the EU, which a lot of people in the House of Commons in the British Parliament do, and because they thought the deal kept Britain too close to the EU, and they want a more complete kind of radical break with Europe. So the people voting against it were on both sides. This was a kind of, as you said, split the difference kind of deal. But what that means is that now the vote has happened, we're not any further along. And so, the people who want to stay in the EU are celebrating because they think maybe this will mean they can stay in the EU, and the people who want a total break are celebrating because they think maybe there'll be a total break. There's actually, we are not moved further along. We still don't know what's going to happen on March 29th when Britain is set to leave. It's a very bizarre situation. I mean, it's kind of an interesting parallel to our shutdown in the United States. It's kind of gridlock. Nobody can decide. Nobody can make up their mind. Nothing happens.
But this one in particular, let's remind everyone what happened here. This was a referendum, and the British people voted to essentially do an exit from the EU. And so Theresa May today, her point to the House was this, okay, I get it. You guys don't support this deal, but you're not telling us what you do support, to your point about the government shutdown. We don't have an answer. What do you want to do? And then she asked the question, do you intend to honor the decision of the British people? Because that's exactly where she's been. She has members of her own party even who don't back that decision, and she doesn't have the backing. But where do you go from there? How do you honor that referendum, or do you?
Yeah, well,
do you have to?
It's complicated. I mean, there are a number of different options. One option would be, now that we're 2 years in and we have the deal on the table, option would be to have another referendum, and there is a big campaign now to have that. And the tricky thing is that if there were to be one, I mean, much depends on how the question is written, it looks like the British would now vote to remain. So the problem with referendums is that people change their minds. That's one of the issues underlying this is the British they exited from their parliamentary democracy. They went for a referendum. And now they're stuck in an odd trap where the parliament doesn't want to override the referendum, but what does a referendum mean? And, it's become quite complicated. I mean, I think one of the things that might happen is that, there's a group inside the House of Commons that might come up with some kind of cross-party deal that everybody could accept. That's one
you know, since the government couldn't do it, some MPs might try to do it. There will be a push for a referendum from some people. And then there will be others who will want the kind of the clock to tick out and Britain to crash out, which would mean leaving the European Union with no trade agreements, no arrangements. Britain's part of literally dozens of institutions, from law enforcement to academic and scientific and so on. And it would just lose all of those overnight. And so nobody even really knows what the
it would be,
what that would mean.
And it has ramifications for us, because our biggest security partner in the world is England.
Yep.
Without question. Mm-hmm. How we see the world between the British intelligence services and our own intelligence services, it's the network that literally covers the entire globe. And it is, and you know, go back to the mythology of James Bond, it's really true. It still holds to this very day that we are the best partners for that on a global basis. The other piece, the aviation industry is touched by this, because Airbus is that consortium that mm-hmm. you were talking about, which is British Aerospace and all of these other companies that all kind of come together in Airbus. What does it mean for them? What does it mean for the continuing maintenance of aircraft, let alone new aircraft?
It could even be worse than that, although I think this is a piece of it that can be worked out. But actually, airplanes are allowed to land and fly in and out of Britain based on an EU agreement. So there was at one point fear that, you know, the planes wouldn't take off.
Right. And the other piece, and I think the one thing that...
Almost every interaction that Britain has with the outside world in anything, whether it's economic or, as I said, scientific or anything else, right now goes by the EU.
There's another piece, and this is one of... just something to think about that wasn't brought up very much in the whole Brexit campaign. And then once they did it, they realized what they had done, which is Northern Ireland, which is a British, you know, this mm-hmm. it's owned by Britain, has a very large, fairly uncontrolled border with Ireland. Ireland mm-hmm. is still in the EU.
So it has no border. There's no border with Ireland because they're both in the EU. There doesn't need to be a border. So there's no...
So
there isn't a border.
So the question is, where does that, where, since there is an uncontrolled border there, and again, this kind of goes to what, you know, a little bit of what, you know, the kind of the dynamics of what we're arguing about, is what happens with the economy between the Irish, you know, the trade and such, between the Irish economy and the English economy, which is a very significant amount of trade that goes on there. And they hadn't really considered that. And what are the designations of those people moving back and forth? That's a big issue for them, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's actually turned out to be in the negotiation. That turned out, it was an issue, as you say, nobody talked about it at all during the referendum campaign. But in the negotiations, that turned out to be the most important issue, because the Irish don't want to build a wall on the border. That's actually a lot of sensitivity about that, because there are some people in Northern Ireland who would like to be part of Ireland. And, of course, that's the origin of what was a long-running Irish Civil War. So one of the ways that the war finally ended was everybody said, look, we're all in the EU. We don't need a border anymore. We can just trade normally. And that kind of, the EU kind of helped dissolve that conflict. And the fear is now that if you tried to rebuild a border across Ireland, you would restart the political conflict. And that is something that people have been afraid of.
Is Theresa May in jeopardy here herself in terms of being prime minister? There's this no confidence vote we hear about scheduled for tomorrow.
So people are saying, and I, you know, that the no confidence, that she will pass the no confidence vote because her party will vote for her, and she has a little coalition partner, actually Northern Irish coalition partner, who will also vote for her because they don't want a general election. So, you know, unless something changes between now and tomorrow, and I would really hate to make predictions that were too firm, it looks like she'll pass. I mean, the larger question is, you know, if you've lost, you know, if you just suffered the biggest House of Commons loss in modern history, mm-hmm. shouldn't you resign? And some people thought she might resign today, but she didn't. She implied actually today that she's going to try and hold another vote. You know, she's going to go back and talk to everybody some more and try and vote on it again.
Another parliamentary vote. In terms of a referendum. What is the likelihood of a second referendum here, do you think?
She's saying she doesn't want it. And I says, I think she doesn't want it because probably Remain would win. And this would then divide the Tory party and cause all kinds of chaos inside the inside her political grouping. You know, so for that reason, I would say, you know, not like if she's as long as she's in charge, it seems unlikely. However, you know, I talked to somebody from the it's called the People's Vote campaign, the second referendum campaign a couple of days ago. And he said, you know, look, we're looking for a situation where we're the last option standing. Everything else fails. You know, they can't pass her deal. They don't want to have no deal. They can't pass any other kind of deal. It may be that they throw it out to, you know, they just say, okay, let's vote again as a way of resolving the gridlock. It's not going to happen immediately, but it's not totally impossible.
All right. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Ann Applebaum from the Washington Post Global Opinions Columnist. Thank you very
much.
And it's not something that we're paying a ton of attention to here, but it has so many parallels to what's going on here.
Absolutely.
It's not eerie because in a lot of ways, it was planned. The internet research group that worked on getting into the bloodstream of social media in America, trying to divide us by you know, trying to encourage far left and far right activities here, did the exact same stuff to the British social media stream in the run up to the Brexit vote and got everybody going in different directions, scared them on. And they use the same techniques, getting them all whipped up about how everybody on the other side is out to get you, and whipping up conservative and liberal fears in England. And they did the same thing here. And this is, and it's Vladimir Putin laughing all the way to the bank.
Part of the reason there is growing nationalism and populism in both countries.
Right. So
this is it's a paralysis, and it's much worse than even our partial shutdown.
Yeah, because this will affect the markets. So watch for that over the next couple of days here, depending on what happens in England. So we'll get more analysis of that. But first, Kim Gordon, going to tell us what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, multiple people have been shot in University Park.
We've got the traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems, Jen DeSalvo. Coming up, Gillette wants to sell you a razor by telling you you're an a-hole.
A lot of people taking offense to this. They don't like it.
Wait.
This new ad.
Wait a second. How does that work?
It's an ad that's not about shaving at all.
No. No, it's about guys, you've gotten away with it for way too long. And now your time's coming. Time's up. But if you'd like a five-blade razor at a very decent price, I don't understand it to save my life. Now, there are so many things I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly one of them. We'll get to that coming up. But first, we've got Kim Gordon's news in 2 minutes.
The Hamilton lyric, by the way, which no one on the show can get correct ever, including myself, who tried to correct you guys yesterday. I'm not throwing away my shot. It's not going to waste. I'm not going to miss. I'm not throwing away my shot.
It's something about a shot and wasting it. That's all I know. Brian, can you find that song?
I'm
not throwing
song.
Away my shot.
I'm young, scrappy, hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot, just like my country.
Okay.
Great, great, great song.
It is. I mean, that Hamilton is good. It's good. It's very entertaining. And the people go around in circles on the stage in a way that you can't figure out how they're doing it.
And yeah, time and days and years change just by the little circular motion of the stage.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm gonna get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is a lot of brains with no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal. My power of speech, unimpeachable. Only 19, but my mind is older. These New York City streets get cold. I shoulder.
Jen DeSalvo, do you have this now? Do you understand what's going on there?
No, I still don't, but I like it.
Okay.
I want to keep listening to it.
All right. Okay. I don't think we have the rights to continue to play it, but whatever.
Unfortunately. I'm not throwing away my shot.
Right.
That's so the future references, not miss my shot, waste my... No, it's I'm not throwing away my shot. I've sung this song a million times.
Go see Hamilton.
Corrected by my 7-year-old daughter when I got home.
At the CIBC Theater. Did she listen and get mad at you?
She loves the music, and she's like, you know what it is. It's not... I'm not throwing away my shots. I'm not wasting my shots.
So funny
yesterday.
To be yelled at by your 7-year-old.
Correct. She was just, she's into the music and, you know, sounded weird to her. Anyone who's heard the music and knows it, I think.
Who paid for those tickets? Go to your room.
That's right. That would be the response.
All right. Speaking of getting yelled at by people who shouldn't be yelling at you, Gillette is yelling at us, we men, for being cads and bullies and bad guys, and it's over. Now, what happened here? Why are they doing this? Let's play. This is the commercial. It's gone viral. It's on the internet, and this is like a 2-minute or something, almost close to 2 minutes, like a little film that they made, and they're going to cut it into commercials. I'm assuming it's not going to run on the Super Bowl, because I cannot imagine what's going to happen there. How to ruin your Super Bowl party is to watch this commercial. Listen to this.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against
toxic
sexual harassment.
Masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off, making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back.
Oh, God.
What, too preachy? Because that's the one thing I hear. It's like, just sell razors. You don't need to preach. And that the overwhelming majority of people buying those razors are not toxic masculine people. They're not misogynists. They just...
Also, majority of men are good. We're not all complete jerks. I promise you that. We don't have to be yelled at by some razor company for 2.5 minutes.
Wait, there's more. Hold on.
Yes.
We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie.
Come on.
To say the right thing, to act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
Some already are, in ways big and small. But some is not enough, because the boys watching today will be the men.
So that when you hear the guy, not cool, not cool, that little part right there, this is a great moment.
What was he
this
doing?
This is a bunch of attractive women walking down a street, and a guy who is dressed like a construction worker, but now with a hard hat,
mm-hmm.
sort of like in a muscle tee, turns and tries to follow them. And so this other guy kind of jumps in and goes, hey, not cool, man.
Not cool, man.
You cannot follow them, man. It's kind of like that. And so you're like, what? What? Wait, what?
They're just like suggesting that we need some like major widespread movement in America to fix all the men.
Yes.
In our population. Because we're all complete jerks.
Not cool, man. You need to get a Gillette razor.
Update. We're not all Harvey Weinstein.
Kind of surprised Gillette did this,
yeah.
To be honest. I mean, I could see like a public service announcement, you know, or something during the Super Bowl, potentially, by some Me Too movement. But
or why don't
it just
you do the opposite? Like highlight positives in guys. You know, I guess they do a little bit, but it just seems so negative and like finger pointing. It's just all not that bad the way people project it.
But as a female, I can tell you that Uh-oh. Kind of stuff happens every single day.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walking down the street, just anything.
Okay. Now, wait a second. Now, mm-hmm. hold on. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that a commercial like a Gillette commercial is helpful?
I think that the men who do it are never going to stop doing it.
Right.
And that's why I just need to marry men like my husband and reproduce and make little boys that are like him.
The guys who are creeps to you on the street are the guys watching the spot like, what the hell is this? What the hell are they trying to tell me here? I know what I'm doing. I'm a man. Where the rest of us who are like common, decent guys are like, we don't need to be dealing with this. I don't need to watch this.
I think that's the funny part. The people on social media who are really outraged by it, probably the people this commercial is speaking to little bit. I mean, you can't get overly outraged by it.
No, I'm not overly outraged. But it's just like, enough already.
There's a boycott Gillette hashtag trending, and people are smashing their razors.
Who are the guys? Wait, I want to know who the organizers of that are.
I know.
Who are those guys? It was the guy that got stopped in the muscle t-shirt trying to follow the woman.
Right.
Over.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Hey, I can follow.
Wait, Gillette trying to mess up everything.
How you doing?
Oh my gosh! Don't boycott Gillette. I use my husband's razor. So.
Oh wait a second. Now, that's interesting.
They just make better products for men than they do for women. So.
Well, don't they have women's products too, right?
They do.
Gillette's got all the you know.
Sure.
I'm always amazed by. I know this is not really the way the conversation should be going, but I am always amazed when I go to the razor section, and I see all the different razor selections for women that have like puffy handles and they're pink, right? So you know the difference. So it's like so obvious to oh, it's pink. Oh, I can't get that. But it looks like it'd be more fun to shave with that thing. Although it's angled in a different way.
Scented razors.
Right. Who needs a scented razor?
Like the moisture strip.
Yeah, the moisture strip.
Well, we got the moisture strip too. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to brag.
Yeah, we got that too.
I mean, you can buy them in bulk at Costco for men's razors, but they really rarely ever have the female razor. So my husband just buys them in bulk and I secretly don't let him know why they're going so quick.
You use his.
Do you use the all disposable? Or is this the just disposable razor part, the head part?
The blades are
the blade.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's it's a funny thing because I cannot figure out how long it is before the thing's gone bad.
Well,
right? I mean, that's the thing. And I've gone hairy at this point, and I mean that in both ways. I grow kind of a half beard, and I've gone to Harry's Razors to do the trimming around the outside because that's better. Because first of all, Harry's not yelling at me. That's the first most important part. Harry never told me I'm a jerk just to begin with. Very important point. And it's inexpensive and it's exactly what I need. It's like it just, you know, a little, and they last forever because I'm only using them to like trim the thing up.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the point, but it is really, but it doesn't, you know, it's not like Superfit. It's not vibrating. It's not funny colors. It doesn't light up. It's not doing things. It's not 16 blades, and then one's pulling, and another one's thinking about pulling, and then one's actually cutting, and the other one goes, oh, why did you cut that? Oh, let's cut it again. I mean, I don't even understand that about the blade technology. Why do I have to have 100 blades going across my face?
They have smart marketing, Harry's, because they talk about how hard it is to go and buy the razors when they're all locked up in the store, and you feel like a criminal just trying to buy them, and that part, I think, speaks to a lot of people. I'm kind of surprised our texters are, a lot of them are in favor of the texters of the ad. They say they're just saying, set a good example. I see men do these dumb things every day. That's kind of your point, Jen. Yeah. Good men say boys will be boys, or that locker room talk like it's okay. Furthermore, men of my generation do not think the same way as my sons. Kind of interesting. Supporting it.
So to Jen's point is that she's trying to create a generation that's a household by household thing. Uh-huh. I mean, I do think that boys... there's no question that boys who end up being jags, I think that's the best way to put it, right? Wouldn't you say, Kev?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Right. Jags generally come from jags. I mean, it's sort of like...
It's rooted in that from the get-go.
You kind of learn the jaggery from either the, some sort of an adult figure in your life, either an older brother or, dad or stepdad or whoever it happens to be. Or the jag across the street. I don't know. There's got to be a jag somewhere in the psychological food chain for the child.
So. Maybe is it that women buy razors for their husbands? So this is kind of speaking to them.
Oh, that's a great point.
You know, I mean, I keep seeing everyone saying it's 90. You just alienated 90% of your customer base. But I just wonder if, because I do a lot of shopping.
What, men can't buy razors for themselves? What's that?
I think that should be in the ad, too.
Get a shot at us, guys.
If they had to find them themselves.
Since you idiots can't find the store and find the razor department and your woman's buying you the razors.
Although guys are not patient. When it comes to that lock thing, I actually try to open it.
And there's a button to press and you just start pounding on it until somebody shows up.
There's like a little alarm you have to sound to get the people at the front. Attention, and then
I mean, I get it. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to do a positive spin here. It just feels like a little finger pointing.
Like they're yelling at us.
Don't yell at me.
Yeah,
can't handle that right now. Well, not over the Bears' loss.
The Bears' loss.
Bears' loss.
Yeah, Parks, you ruined my life.
This not a good time to be yelling at me about razors.
And now you're going to tell me I'm a jag, and I'm not a jag.
You guys are just about to break down. You guys are very sensitive lately. Very. You can't handle anything.
I haven't even been shaving since that loss, so this is kind of just like the cherry on top.
Are you showering at least?
No.
Are you eating?
He hasn't started showering. Hasn't
sleeping?
Eaten. He drank two handles of vodka already in 2 weeks.
Oh, gee. Somehow I believe that.
It's not good.
It's starting to go down smooth.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Well, what's wrong with a little eye opener? It's like, oh my God. Yeah. All right, well, I feel okay.
If they really cared about women, they wouldn't charge more for women's razors. Hmm. That's interesting.
Good point.
Yep.
Good point. Take that, Gillette.
The pink tax.
I do wonder. It's true though. Like dry cleaning and razors. And the razors, I don't know, the razors, I think because of the a body razor is different than a face razor, right? But you got fewer blades, because you need to be able to make the turns faster.
Yeah, the women's razors always look so, like, sleek. Comfortable. Yeah, like, yeah. They but bend every single little
men
curve.
Use them to shave their heads, so you're still, it's a body razor.
Yeah, but it's not as abrupt a turn as I think women are making with the razor.
Anyway, that doesn't justify the cost. I'm sorry, Mr. Gillette. I mean, do you work for them?
Are women's razors really more expensive?
A lot of cases.
Yeah.
You do see that.
Huh.
And I feel like they go bad, like, after two shaves, where a guy's one you can use for, like, a year.
Yeah. I feel like that, too. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I think it's also because it's a body, there's a lot more space that's going over.
That's true.
It's getting the miles on the razor are higher than the miles on the razor for the guy.
Right.
Okay.
Smaller surface space.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Even if you're just doing your whole head, if you're doing your legs versus your whole head, I think the surface area.
Right.
And you're also, and women want a certain level of smoothness that guys don't really care about.
Right.
That's a whole other deal because you're going both ways here.
But
right?
We want that smoothness, not you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good luck on that.
Now they're telling us what kind of smoothness level we need.
What the hell's that all about, Kev?
Our skincare company got another commercial lined up for us.
God. I don't want to kiss sandpaper.
Oh God.
Some girls do. Some might.
Yeah. All right. That's it. I'm done. You know what? I'm just going to stick with Harry. That's all I'm going to do. It's me and Harry, and we're going to go. You know what? We're going to Thelma and Louise this mother. We're going to go right over the cliff.
Good idea.
All right. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Well, I'm not sure if they sell razors, but the fight to save Sears still isn't over.
It's the Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We got a top 5-5 you won't believe coming up in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Monaco is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, also our legal analyst, to talk about the hearings on Capitol Hill and the Senate for William Barr. Should he be the next attorney general? And then we're hearing rumors about Mueller.
Uh-oh.
Is right. So Mike will let us know what he thinks about that. But that all comes your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up in 2 minutes.
Don't want to.
It's a Ro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
It's kind of upbeat music we need around here.
Yeah, that's what we need. I don't know if you people know that you just heard it from the Demetrius Ivory weather forecast right there.
Sure, we did.
In for Tom Skilling. Tom returns on Monday. We're going to get hit. This is that weekend in January that is always the worst weekend in January.
That weekend.
This is the third, you know, the 20th, 21st, 22nd. That's when it's like, that's the depth of winter in Chicago. And every day thereafter, the average daily temperature goes up and, you know, the weather starts to break kind of by mid-February, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Chicago, like in general.
Typically.
But this is it. And we've really skated the first month and a half of winter. November sucked. But then December and January were kind of okay.
Really?
Till now.
Sub-zero wind chills.
What? Last Friday, I said this to you, because we have this view here from the studios here at WGN. We look at the river, we look at the lake, right? We have beautiful views, panoramic views of the water in Chicago, the waterways in Chicago. And there was no ice. There's no ice.
You did say that.
Like, on the
where
river.
Where is it? And why are there ducks out there?
Right. There were ducks swimming down the lake. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem right.
January. What are they doing?
Down the river, I should say. The ducks in the lake. Those are very confused ducks. But the point is that you got no ice. After this weekend, they're going to be ice.
They'll be ice.
Yeah. And it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of snow on the ground. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
I think you just were. And Demetrius was, too, so we'll put it on him.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's blame him. I blame him for everything that goes wrong anyway. All right, here we go. It's time for...
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'll do that. Checking in at
number 5.
All right, the Mueller investigation was on the mind of the senators today at the confirmation hearings of the Attorney General nominee, William Barr. Here is Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont.
So will you commit, if confirmed, to both seeking and following the advice of the department's career ethics officials on whether you must recuse from the special counsel's investigation?
I will seek... the advice of the career ethics personnel, but under the regulations, I make the decision as the head of the agency as to my own recusal. So I certainly would consult with them, and at the end of the day, I would make a decision in good faith based on the laws and the facts that are evident at that time.
So that's a... First of all, Patrick Leahy, for those of you wondering, did just come back from the dead when he asked that question. That is true. But it's I'm not sure how I feel about that answer. But there's more. There's
there
more.
Any circumstances that would cause you to terminate the investigation or any component of it or significantly restrict its funding?
Under the regulations, Bob Mueller could only be terminated for good cause, and I frankly, it's unimaginable to me that Bob would ever do anything that gave rise to good cause.
I like how he calls him Bob.
I know, he's like, Bobby and I, you know, we go way back, decades in fact, our wives went to Bible class together. I mean, they know each other very well.
Mm-hmm. It's like when people call Robert De Niro Bobby De Niro.
Like, they go,
"How do you know him that well? You were really impressed by that?" Well, this guy, yeah, calling him Bob Mueller, is like, "Oh, yeah, well, Bob and I, well, yeah, listen, Bob and I were talking about this on the third hole." Okay.
But you think that gives you a little more of a good feeling that he's going to respect not only the office of the special counsel, but the person. He knows him. He respects him.
And then?
But in theory, if something happened that was good cause, for me, it would actually take more than that. It'd have to be pretty grave, and the public interest would essentially have to compel it, because I believe right now the overarching public interest is to allow him to finish.
Yeah. It's interesting, talking about the Mueller investigation. Watching this thing today, as he was being asked questions by both Republicans and Democrats, it really did, the sense that I got from the entire proceeding there with William Barr, he's gonna fly right through confirmation. He didn't say anything that was particularly controversial.
No.
He seemed to be supportive of the rule of law when it comes to the Mueller investigation and the continued, letting Mueller continue his deal. And he didn't really take the bait from some of the Republican senators about the FBI and there's, you know, bad cops and the FBI's all corrupt because they're looking into Donald Trump. He didn't seem to really bite on that. And, you know, when you stop and you think about that for a second, I'm telling you, and I know this really, it agitates people who love Donald Trump when I say this, I'll take a gentleman's bet with any of the people out there. This, a year from now, I think the people who have been so defensive of him will have changed their mind as opposed to people who have been so opposed to him. Now, they would say that about me, right? The other side would say, you're going to be totally wrong about this. Donald Trump's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents of all times. But the mounting evidence and the tone of people, even the people around Donald Trump, the tone has changed. And Donald Trump's so defensive about everything here. It's not because he's, the whole world is out to get him. Everybody you know who's ever said the whole world's out to get me, when were those people ever right? Right? I mean, you know, save a few, like Adolf Hitler, right? I mean, he was right. The whole world was out to get him. They got him. Now, there's a comparison. I'm just saying that that's it. When people say that, they're very rarely ever right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if after watching today's presentation, if the president did, I know he's probably, you know, he's in meetings and had other things going on. But if he, when he goes home and watches, when he goes up to the residence tonight and he watches Fox's presentation of this, I think he's going to get mad at Barr. I really do. Watch the Twitter feed tonight.
It might happen. I mean, remember, he's the one that wrote the memo saying that the whole Mueller investigation into this particular issue was fatally misconceived. And that's one of the things that was concerning people as he was nominated for this office.
That's not what he said here.
Not what he said.
No.
He said that there's no, the man I know, Robert Mueller, would never be on a witch hunt. He's not that kind of person who would pursue that.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
And like what you said before.
Hold on. Forget it. You're out. What do I got? Who I got? What's the guy that looks like a refrigerator? Keep him.
How about Giuliani?
Oh, my God. Giuliani.
Up next.
Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani literally said, have you noticed you've not heard from Rudy Giuliani since he said, oh, no, the president knew about the, you know, that Russia thing was still going on. And to the Trump Hotel Moscow was still going on until like election day.
Uh-huh. Sure. That's a good thing to say.
All right. Can I move on? I'm going to move on now.
Number four.
Singer, actress, comedian, Carol Channing, best known for her role on Broadway as Hello, Dolly, has died. Channing is best known for originating the lead role of Dolly Gallagher. Was it Dolly Gallagher Levi? Is that right? I did not realize that.
Hmm.
I didn't, because I never said anything else to Dolly but hello. In a Broadway production, which began in 1964.
Dolly will never go away again.
Hello,
Carol Channing.
Headline in the LA Times, Goodbye, Dolly.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I remembered her fondly and all the people she inspired, but that was the headline.
Too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Too soon. I know what you're thinking. Wasn't she already dead? No.
97.
She was 97 years old.
Good for her.
All right. We'll get to your three and your two and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's going on in the newsroom at the top, bottom of the hour?
Roe, the rules for kids shopping at one Chicago mall might get tougher.
Yeah!
All right. Can't wait for the deck party. Get real in the morning. Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN.
All right. Top 5-5 continues right here. We've worked our way up to
number three.
Sony and Marvel have released the first trailer for the sequel to 2017's Spider-Man Homecoming called Spider-Man Far From Home.
Peter Parker here to pick up a passport, please.
Mini toothpaste?
Mm-hmm.
Pack your suit.
I just want to go on my trip with my friends.
Europe doesn't really need a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal makes his way into this because he's overseas. Wow. This mm-hmm. takes place overseas, which tells you that's where they plan on making their money with this movie. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays Mysterio, and Samuel L. Jackson is back, too, as Nick Fury.
So nice to finally meet you, Spider-Man.
You're Nick Fury.
Put some clothes on. Let's go for a ride.
Is he going to be okay like that?
Might want to turn him over so he doesn't swallow his tongue.
I think Nick Fury just hijacked our summer vacation.
You got gifts, Parker, but you have a job to do. Are you going to step up or not?
They're just cranking these Spider-Man movies out.
They're just cranking superhero movies out.
So true.
You notice you don't get... And then it's sort of like, you know, when movies become hits, everybody wants to follow up and do another one. Like disaster movies in the 1970s were like that. Everybody's doing it. They're taking characters that shouldn't even be superheroes. And they're making them into superheroes.
And they just came out with that animated Spider-Man.
Right. Right, well, they did that with that, and where they're all different Spider-Men. Right. I think, well, that's the problem with Spider-Man. It's kind of, the rights are a little unclear as to who can actually control the Spider-Man. But I think what's going to be interesting to me is this, it's the one that Brie Larson is in.
Is that another
Captain
Spider-Man?
Captain Marvel,
yeah. Because you know, like Brie Larson is like an Oscar nominee actress, right? And she's like playing a superhero. I know this will be her second time playing this, right? I think she was in one of those other movies, but this one's all going to be about her. It's going to be interesting.
Due out in March, March 8th.
Yeah.
So you're going to watch that one?
Yes. I understand Dame Judi Dench is going to be in a Marvel action film before it's all said and done. The Broken Hip is what she's doing. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number two.
Colton Underwood, you know, he's the first virgin bachelor. Sat down with Billy Eichner for a serious man-to-man talk on last night's episode of Eichner Grilled. The 26-year-old who says he's never experienced sex talks about his commitment to remain abstinent during the production.
I've just met you.
Yes.
You're a virgin.
Yes.
Never even like a one night?
No.
I feel like those are awkward.
They're fantastic.
Are you going to wait till you get married?
I'm going to wait until I'm in love.
Fine. You get an award. I'm glad you waited to have sex until you found someone who can successfully do a three-legged race. I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Egg on a spoon.
Is this not criteria that you normally look for?
No. The first thing I do, I'm gay. I know that's a shock, Colton. And that I think you should look into. Maybe you're the first gay bachelor and we don't even know. Put that in your promo.
This guy's going to have sex. He's going to get drunk one night and have sex with all the contestants in one night. Just go crazy.
Right, exactly. You're next! Yep. And then the contestants on that show, are they going, if I get my break in Hollywood, I am more than willing to do this. I mean, really, the honest to God truth, you know, you talk about the Me Too movement and all that, and about how, and Weinstein and all the bad stuff that has happened.
Right, but women are lining up.
But think about what the entire institution of The Bachelor is about.
Right?
Think about that for a second. I mean, it's all women just vying to be famous and to marry a guy they just met on a TV show.
They do it with a woman, too. Like, well, the men line up for the woman.
I know, but you kind of expect what the guy, but the guys don't, the way that, you know, the guys are all competing with each other, you know, I'm going to get her, you know, at the end. And nobody gets married, but, I mean, you talk about sort of retrograde sexual stereotypes.
Right.
So that's what this whole institution is about. Isn't
true.
It?
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, that's, you know, if Gillette wants to do a commercial, they should do it about that. All right, and finally.
Number one.
Clemson Tigers were at the White House last night. The president was there as well, and he decided to serve a variety of fast food to the football players because he said that the kitchen was shut down because of the government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that Melania and Karen Pence were going to make salads.
And he didn't think the players would be really into that.
I didn't think so, no. So he spent $3,000 of his own money on fast food.
So I had a choice. Do we have no food for you because we have a shutdown? Or do we give you some little quick salads that the first lady will make along with the second lady? They'll make some salads. And I said, you guys aren't into salads. Or do I go out, Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, do I go out and send out for about 1,000 hamburgers, Big Macs.
You know, one guy who's not happy with the Gillette commercial.
Yeah, really.
That's the president.
Terrible.
I hate
boycott.
Except it's Gillette Stadium is his favorite team.
That's a good point.
The Patriots. So there's that.
Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson star quarterback, one who's from the Game of Thrones backup double or body double. He was loving it. He said totally into the whole fast food thing. And then there are some other ones who caught on video players saying, "Is he serious? Are we really doing that?" We thought that was a joke.
I put olives on the pizza. Is there more of him? I love this.
We have pizzas, we have 300 hamburgers, many, many french fries, all of our favorite foods. I want to see what's here when we leave, because I don't think it's going to be much.
The reason we did this is because of the shutdown. We want to make sure that everything is right. So we sent out, we got this, and we have some wonderful people working at the White House. They helped us out with this. And I will say the Republicans are really, really sticking together. It's great to see because we need border security. We have to have it.
Oh, God. We're here for a football thing.
Enjoy your filet of fish.
Can anything be... Oh, no filet of fish. Ew.
He likes the
Can't anything not be about politics for just 1 minute with him? We really need border security. And all these guys, the clones of football players go, what are you talking about, man? All right. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's the end of the top five. I'm closing this thing up.
The top five at five.
Do you want Special Counsel Mueller to shield no one and prosecute the case regardless of who is affected?
I want Special Counsel Mueller to discharge his responsibilities as a federal prosecutor and exercise the judgment that he's expected to exercise under the rules and finish his job.
How about that? All right, Mike Monaco, attorney at law, and most importantly, the legal analyst of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. That's the most important.
He might not think that, but we do.
How are you?
Couldn't be better.
Good.
All right. So I ask you this. Is the explanation for what's happening here with this is the Attorney General nomination process, right? So the Attorney General, we're having a little bit of a technical here.
Yeah.
Stand by 1 second.
Yeah.
We're having quite a day. I'm dressed like an escaped convict.
You are, for some weird reason.
I generally dress like Mike Monaco. I'm generally dressed in sartorial splendor.
Yeah, you're
and
good.
Yet I'm
the pocket square going. Yeah. You've got the nice suits out, but not today.
This has been quite a week.
This has been quite a
quite
week.
A week. Quite a week. With the New York Times and everything else.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what, if you're William Barr, do you know him, by the way?
I knew a fellow who worked right under him and was from Chicago and went to Washington to work for him.
Because when you were in the U.S. Attorney's office, you were out of there by the time he came in as the Attorney General,
right? Right.
Yeah, because he was in during the...
Right. I was there with Elliot Richardson and the Saturday Night Massacre.
That's all good. Yeah. So you have fond memories.
I have history.
Yeah, of your work there.
Right.
All right, so... Do you think that this is a good guy for this job at this moment?
I think he's going to be affirmed. There's no question he's going to be confirmed. First of all, the Democrats want to get rid of the fellow who's there now.
Whitaker.
The temporary
refrigerator
fellow.
With a head.
Refrigerator with a head. And he has certain gravitas, you know, from being with George Bush. And he carried himself well in the...
Confirmation hearings. And he also was and apparently he is very respectful of Robert Mueller. He kept calling him Bob.
Called him his friend, called him Bob, said that he would not be involved in a witch hunt. And I think that it did a lot to convince the senators that he will not fire Mueller for no reason or just because the president wants him fired.
This is a veteran, someone who served as Attorney General under George H.W. Bush. He's certainly seemed to be unflappable in a lot of ways in terms of the way, you know, these questions are worded, and he didn't fall really, and he didn't see major missteps. Anything that bothered you, though?
Well, I didn't think it described why he wrote that 18-page memorandum regarding...
He kind of blew it off, right? Like, I was just, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands. I said I was going to write something.
That's exactly
right. Three scotches in, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I said I wrote it myself, but, you know... But he also sent it to Trump. He sent it to Trump's lawyers.
Huh.
Now that's a very interesting thing. Because, you know, you've been around a little bit, Michael. I've been around a little bit, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, when people are trying to curry favor with people in power like that, they want something.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the senators said it looks like a job application.
But would he want to come back? He said he's 68 years old. He doesn't really need this to be the Attorney General of the United States. He had a great life. I don't want, you know, his whole thing was, I'm old, I'm going to die, I don't care. That is his biggest pitch to these senators.
He even said that when he was approached that he gave two other names that would be better for the job.
Really?
Or do you think he wanted to be on the Trump defense team?
I don't think so. I don't think he did, but...
Because there's Do-Re-Mi there, right?
Yeah, because there's... Because
it's Trump paying it.
Well, not Trump, his committee. I'm sure it doesn't come out of Trump's pocket.
His own defense?
Oh, yeah. It comes out of the...
Giuliani's getting paid not out of Trump organization.
I can't imagine he's getting paid. I think he's getting paid out of the legal defense fund. Exactly. That's why I would assume. I mean, this is certainly relevant to that.
I think with Trump, you know you're going to get paid. Well, maybe you're not.
That's not been the case.
That's true. He does.
For 25 years, it's not been the case. But here, he's got money. There's a legal defense fund. So we'll see. But anyway.
So back to committee.
Yeah, so he, I think, wants to, if you believe him, he says he wants to help the situation at current. And he sees it as a difficult situation. He sees it as a, very, very split partisan situation in the Senate, in the House, and in the country. And I think he wants to help with that. That's what he says. And I tend to believe him. It seems like that's the case. But some of his questions, he's not going to object to marijuana. He said he's not going to go after those states that have legalized marijuana. You got that going for you.
Yeah. He's our guy.
Gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Wait, here's.
I was happy to hear that just for you, Ro.
Just for his Ryan Lochte impression.
Right. Yeah, just really for that for more that. Than anything else. Well, I'm actually more happy that Ryan Lochte is going to be on Big Brother so that we can bring him to new, fresh audio of his stupidity.
With the mooch.
Here is William Barr today kind of explaining the whole letter thing.
If I wanted the job and was going after the job, there are many more direct ways of me bringing myself to the president's attention than writing an 18-page legal memorandum,
or
sending it to the Department of Justice and routing it to other...
But also publicly criticize the Russian probe. I mean,
how have I criticized the Russian probe?
You don't have any criticism of the Russian probe?
Not at all. I think I believe the Russians interfered or attempted to interfere with the election, and I think we have to get to the bottom of it.
Okay, I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
When Trump hears that on Fox News tonight.
What? This is the guy I selected?
That's not the guy.
So there is a witch hunt.
What's he talking about? What are you talking about? What's he talking about?
Because he said there is no witch hunt. Yeah, I mean, he said a lot of things that are really going to go the other way on Trump.
Right. But I guess, he had to say that to appear to be nonpartisan. I mean, really. I mean, if he had said anything else, first of all, the Democrats would have gone nuts. But secondly, the country would have said, well, is this really the guy? I mean, really? This is the guy we're picking after Whitaker came in for a brief moment? Now we have this fellow?
Can we believe what he's saying?
I don't know if we can. I know he
What's your instinct? What's your gut
My
tell
instinct
you?
Is we should. We should believe what he's going to say.
Okay.
Because he's had a good career and is fairly well thought of. As I said, I had a good friend who worked under him closely, was his number two guy.
Okay. The memo and the part that bothered so many people and that was brought up a lot during the questioning today was that he was attacking as fatally misconceived the idea that the president could have obstructed justice in this probe. And a lot of people say, well, how could you be in charge of this probe, in charge of Mueller? Given that belief, shouldn't you recuse yourself?
There are two issues there. First of all, you're exactly right. He said that a president can fire whoever he wants to fire, and just because someone else may think it's political or he's doing it for a bad reason, that's no reason. That's corrupt reason, exactly. That's no reason to investigate him, which I think is exactly the opposite of what Mueller thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing was that he has... This whole issue is not going to confront him. I mean, he's exactly what you said. He sort of put it over to the side. Most of the stuff, he sort of just pushed these issues to the side. Well, that's really nothing. I did write that, but, so what?
Yeah, about
the memo.
In the memo that William Barr wrote months ago, years ago.
To the
Department of Justice.
Right.
About the firing of Comey and whether or not the launch of the Mueller investigation was legally authorizable or or even practical. I mean, that's what that 18 pages was about. And he kind of comes down on the side of, well, maybe not, right? I mean, but it's like a legal brief, and it kind of argues two things simultaneously. But here's the point. If he becomes attorney general and they want to charge a sitting president with obstruction of justice, where will he be? And they asked him that today. And he also, with the same breath, said that it's possible to charge a sitting president.
Right.
So, when Trump hears this tonight, I swear to God.
Well, yeah,
I hope he stays long enough for Shannon Bream's show at 11 o'clock. He's up long enough so that he can watch that. Because that's going to be... That's going to come up in her show. We had her on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other question is going to be whether Mueller tries to subpoena Trump to testify in the grand jury, and to do that, I assume Barr will have to approve that subpoena,
and that'll go to a judge, right?
If Trump refuses to go,
it's going to go to a court.
It'll go to a judge,
and then they're going to go to the Ninth Circuit, and they're out to get me.
It'll go to the D.C. Circuit,
California
Court of Appeals, then the Supreme Court.
It'll be some judge that you know is Mexican, who's going to, because he's Mexican, he hates me.
Oh God!
I mean, we've already had all this. Oh, people go, oh, you're being hard on the president. Really? He's not on the dead one.
This has been an amazing week. I mean, with the Washington Post story.
I want to stop on that, Mike Monaco. I want to get your thought on this, because what the New York Times and the Washington Post reported.
Right.
Two separate things. It's interesting because the New York Times had to drop it on Friday night, which is not when they wanted to drop it. They wanted that in the Sunday Times. But they dropped it Friday night because the Washington Post was running on a very similar rail with them, and they wanted to get ahead of them.
Right.
Because just like Watergate, when the Post and the Times were going after each other, fighting against each other. To get their scoops out. The fact that the FBI launched an investigation, you were in the Department of Justice. You would have been one of those guys who would have launched this, and you were there during the Nixon years, so you would have known exactly how this goes. Well, get your thought on what they would have to know for the FBI to have launched this investigation.
Sure.
Or what they would have, because you don't do it on a hunch.
No.
No. The president does things on a hunch. They don't do it on it. The FBI doesn't do it on a hunch, and the Justice Department doesn't do it on a hunch. Mike will explain why that is right after Kim Gordon tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
IRS workers getting called back to work to get your tax refund ready.
Kim Gordon's got the most important stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio coming your way in just about 5 minutes, 6 minutes, something like that. Mike Monaco right now joining us. Mike Monaco, our legal analyst right here. Very esteemed attorney. Mm-hmm. He's been one of the most sought after criminal defense attorneys, especially for corporate and white collar kinds of things, for the past number of decades in the nation, some in the world, actually. Sometimes you call Mike and you go, where are you? I'm in Venezuela. Don't ask. And you started in the Justice Department when you got out of Northwestern Law School, right?
Right.
And go Cats. And and you were there during the Night of Long Knives, right, in the 1970s.
Yes.
And when the FBI, it was reported in the New York Times, and the FBI launched an investigation into whether or not Donald Trump was actually an asset of the Russian government in the spring of 2017, did they do that because they were just a part of an interior conspiracy and a bunch of people just trying to get him?
No. No, they wouldn't.
What did they need to do that?
They needed, first of all, there are layers of review within the Department of Justice, within the FBI. And this, you remember, this was right after he fired Comey. Then the next day he met with the two Russian officials in the White House.
Right.
Without any other people there from from the administration. And apparently he said to them, first of all, he referred to Comey as a nut job. The head of the FBI, the president of the United States, referred to the head of the FBI as a nut job to the Russians, and then said this may slow down or this may have some effect on the that Russian thing.
Just going to take the heat off.
They'll take the heat off.
That's
the Russian.
That's exactly what he
said. Yeah, exactly. So that you would think that what? Why would he be saying that? What would
because there were photographers in the room who heard him say
yes.
That. That's the
exactly. The that's exactly right. There was no other members of the administration, but there were photographers who heard him say that. What would have prompted the president of the United States to say that to these two Russian officials? And, you know, they thought, well, one possibility is that he has been compromised, that maybe they have something on him, and that maybe they are holding him and have some power over him. which is not unlike all of the other things the president has done over the past 3 years.
Okay, I do not feel better. When I read that story over the weekend, I was thinking to myself, as crazy as this has all been for the last number of years?
That's the craziest.
This is really beyond.
Really crazy.
Because when the FBI stops and goes in its tracks,
yeah,
and the Justice Department stop,
yeah,
and go, we got to turn inward.
It's no small deal to go after the President of the United States, start an investigation of the President of the United States.
But people will say, well, where did that end up? It ended up on Mueller's desk, and that's what that's the framework from which Mueller's been working.
Right now. Yeah. Exactly. We're gonna hope to see that soon. I know he just asked for another 6 months for the one grand jury, but we'll see how long it takes.
All right. Mike Monaco, attorney at law.
Seeing you,
right here.
Nice seeing you, Mike.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Stories That Matter, coming from Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Speaking of the cats, right there, coming your way in 2 little minutes. Last night, congratulations, Naperville. Billy Idol is your Ribfest main attraction.
Oh, how about that?
So we got Ariana Grande for Lala,
mm-hmm,
and then Billy Idol out in Naperville for the Ribfest. Aren't
That's
they moving?
The headliner.
They're moving Ribfest, right, to a different location.
It's not going
to
be in Naperville anymore.
Well, it's in Naperville, but it's like, aren't they doing? I like just blindly driving off into these things.
It says Knock Park. I'm not exactly sure where it was before that.
It was there.
It was in Knock Park.
Yeah.
So they're moving it in 2020.
I knew it was moving.
The countdown is on.
Their movement. This is the last time they're going to knock it at Knock Park.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Could have missed Knock Park.
Oh, God. All right. So it's like on the river, right? Isn't that the whole thing there?
Not really. It's just an open field. Rose got all his fests mixed up. Unless I missed this river. I don't know. When I went, it was just a giant open field with a huge concert stage and then like 4,000 vendors just serving up ribs. It was a good time. Had a lot of fun. I don't remember river, though.
I like how they announce all these things in the dead middle of winter so you can think about summer in your mind. Think about festivals and things like that. I mean, why do we need to know now?
Especially this.
This is a huge get, Anna. It's not every day you get to see Billy Idol.
Yeah, it is, actually.
I know.
Does this mean I officially aged out of the Lollapalooza demographic when I'm more excited for Billy Idol than I am Ariana Grande?
Yes, that is exactly what that means. Lollapalooza
age is going lower and lower, by the way. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you're in your late 20s, you're kind of aged out of it almost. Not that you're aged out, but you're among the older people sometimes at some of those performances.
Did they announce any of the other Lala acts yet?
I think so. Let's look it up.
Because we always love to play this game. Lala act or a communicable disease? It's always hard to tell.
You could really just go to the Coachella lineup that is out and pick the worst bands out of there, and that's probably what we'll see this summer.
Wow,
so that's taking a shot at Lala.
That's
huh?
a lot of negativity right there. Oh, but look at that.
I've just gotten very hurt over the past few years.
Jen confirmed Lala hater.
I used to go there, and I looked at the people who were more mature than I was, and I was like, one day I'm going to be there. And then all of a sudden I went, and it was like 16-year-olds showing their midriffs, and I'm like, when did this happen? Like, you totally skip that whole middle, late 20s, early 30s crowd.
Oh, boy.
I see. I've never been, but like that whole week downtown is just filled with, people who look like they're in middle school. Their mm-hmm. parents called them out of school somehow.
Right. Somehow, well.
Or camp, whatever they're in.
Somehow they got downtown without their parents. That's the thing. Like, their parents dropped them off and thought, okay, you'll stay down here for the entire weekend, because my favorite thing to watch is at about like 10:30 at night,
mm-hmm.
you go down to the corner of Michigan and Wacker, and you watch them get confused about how to cross the street to get to the bridge. And they go around in a circle first before they actually decide that they have to go across a bridge, because they don't remember going across the bridge the first time. So they don't know that they have to go north on Michigan Avenue to get to their hotel. They get very confused. And again, they're wearing no clothes at this very moment, because mm-hmm. whatever clothes they were wearing got wet and then shrunk even more during the daylight sun into the evening.
Or they wore a lot of clothes, and then when their parents dropped them off, they took those clothes off and threw them in the garbage.
I go Sandra Bullock Bird Box that whole week. I'm like, I'm not looking. I don't know how old any of these women are.
Bird Box.
I go Bird Box Sandra Bullock. I don't look at anybody that whole week. Because nobody's wearing any clothes. I'm like, what is she, 15?
That's safe.
Right. That's a safe way to be.
How old do you get when you start with that? All right, come on now. Put some clothes on.
I know. What is that age?
He's 30, and he's like, all right, that's it.
Well, I don't know. With the current climate of America, I don't even want to get caught looking at anybody these days.
Well, that's true. Because then Gillette's going to get mad at you. I know. I totally get it.
Hey, that guy just looked at her. I don't think she's of age.
Hey, man. No. That's uncool. Uncool.
It's not cool, man.
Anyway.
Didn't you see the Gillette commercial? You can't look at the women.
Right? Don't be doing that down the street.
And you keep saying women. Like, they're of age. That's adorable.
Well, all right, so so for Lala.
Lala doesn't officially announce its lineup until after tickets go on sale. They just announced Ariana Grande, but Time Out Chicago put together a list of the potentials based on, you know, like.
Again, the Coachella rule. Are you going to use the Jen DeSalvo rule about Coachella? Which is, if it sucks at Coachella, they got to put it at Lala.
Well, they look at other festival lineups, and they look at gaps in their touring schedules that fall around the time of Lala, and they think that Kanye West will be one of the people. Kendrick Lamar, another one.
Okay, I've heard of those guys.
Cool. Cardi B.
That's pretty good.
Cardi B, heard of her.
Kacey Musgraves.
Sure.
Enjoy her.
Wasn't
Weezer.
Lala always rock, though, to start? Or am
exactly.
I wrong here?
Isn't and they
it
have
seem
been
like a little
changing.
More hip-hop now?
Yeah, they're changing to R&B and hip-hop. That is an actual effort because... What they do is they follow the pop music. And in the 90s, grunge and alternative was popular music. And now it's R&B.
It's not horrible, though. Seeing Kanye would be pretty sweet.
You know,
but I think that Ariana Grande replaced Kanye at Coachella because he withdrew.
Had some stuff going on, wandering the streets.
Well, they wouldn't build him a giant dome so he wouldn't come.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like news or ruse, but it's not.
Kanye... Though, we'll be playing the Republican National Convention in 2020, so we can look forward to that. I imagine that moment when Kanye comes out with the red hat on, and all the Republican delegates, their mouths drop open, and then the women clutch their purses. Imagine what's going to happen.
And then the
talking to an empty chair, all goes all Clint.
Oh, Marge, where are the kids?
Who is he?
Anyway, it seems like Kanye would be the right guy. Because hasn't he moved back here, or has he not moved back here yet? Has he moved back now with Kim?
No, she said no to that. She vetoed that whole plan.
All right, so he's not going to be here. It'll be a very interesting summer here in Chicago, then. I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, but the kids, again... If your parents from Naperville and you decide you want to go to Rib Fest and drop your kids off at Lala, even though they're not the same weekend, but you know what I'm talking about here?
Hypothetically.
I would like you to pick your kids back up that night and don't let them all stay in a hotel down here because some of them are just going to fall in the river trying to cross the bridge.
And breaking news, they're not all angels.
Oh. Well.
Oh, but he's so good. He's fine being downtown by himself. No, he's causing ruckus and making the cops work more than they should.
There you go.
Kids these days.
Kids, right, exactly.
Get off my lawn. All right.
When did this show all of a sudden become grumpy, like grumpy old men?
I was going to say, I'm the grandmother in this group. And
Jen's going full Lala hate
I'm
mode.
Really cool.
What did Lala do to you, Jen?
Yeah,
what
happened, Jen? They're never letting me back in. I know that. They're never letting me back in.
All right. You didn't do anything bad, did you?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I'm just hurt because I was one of those super fans that really enjoy the music and look so forward to going every single year. And then they changed the whole genre of the music. And it's nothing that I listen to. So I'm just bitter.
All right.
And hurt.
Well, times it's very hard. I mean,
it's time to move on to the Naperville Rib Fest for you, Jen.
Right. I'm just wondering, when's Sinatra coming on?
Yes. There we go.
You know, the funny thing about Lala is it started out in Tinley Park, right? Mm-hmm. They started at, I don't even know what they call that music venue anymore.
It keeps changing, right?
Yes.
What is that one now?
It's too confusing now mm-hmm. for me.
It used to be World when it started.
Right. It's a Hollywood Casino, I think, right now? Isn't it? Is that what they call it?
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tinley Park.
So, I still call it the World.
It was Tweeter Center. It was
the World originally. The World Music Theater. Then, it went through a bunch of things. So anyway, so it started there. And they wanted to make it like a festival kind of a deal. And they made it a little bit more. They wanted to make it like, so proto-punk meets Woodstock kind of a thing with all these vendors. And it was really grungy, to your point. Mm-hmm. And then they moved it downtown. It got super glam, and you had to come to it if you like internationally. So you had kids in Bear Midriff speaking 40 different languages, also getting lost at the corner of Michigan and Wacker, not figuring out do we go left? Which way were we going? Are we crossing the bridge? Are we not crossing the bridge?
See, this listener texts in, I'm 56. Last year I went to the city Lala weekend for something else. I've never been more afraid of being pegged as a pervert just for being on the train. See? That's how I feel.
You don't know where to look.
They were walking around because we're close to the park now at the new location. There was like a group of girls last year asking for directions, and I just ran away. I'm like, don't talk to me. I didn't look at him, I swear.
Hashtag Gillette Man.
Hashtag Gillette Man.
I think I actually did wear a midriff shirt last year, too.
Dude, not cool to look
not
at.
Not cool.
Way too
not
old
cool.
For
Do
that.
Not look at Jen DeSalvo. Do not look.
At least you won't go to look. Jail. Did you go and bury your alcohol in Grant Park a few weeks before the festival? Did not, but oh my gosh, that is true, and people do that quite frequently.
Yeah, and other things. And then they can't find it.
Yeah.
That's the best part, is when you see people walking around in a circle trying to find where it was, like pacing off from a tree to figure out where it is.
We should have took the Molly after we found the booze. Why do we take the Molly so soon in the day?
Is it hot? Is it really hot? How hot is it? Oh my God, it's so hot outside.
Dude.
All right, let's check in with Grandma Kim Gordon.
Well, we might be talking about ribs, but a popular protein bar is being recalled.
The road trip swings into SoCal. The Bulls hit Hollywood as Lowry and the boys lock horns with the Lakers tonight at 9:30 on WGN-TV.
Should mention that game tonight, the Bulls are trying to break a 7-game losing streak.
Yay, go Bulls.
And LeBron's not playing, right? I don't think LeBron's in that game.
Yeah, he's out with a groin injury. 11th straight game. They got a shot. It's the longest losing streak in the NBA right now, by the way. Bulls off to their worst franchise start since 2001. It's not a great year for the Bulls. It's rough. But the core is getting healthier, and the guys are starting to play together. Lowry Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn. You know, those guys, it's like when two of them are healthy, one of them's hurt. You know, it's just they haven't been fully healthy over the past couple of years, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just reaching at this point
yeah.
for something.
Yeah, you're reaching. And they got a coach that that nobody can stand.
Jim Boylan. They like start boycotting him like 10 minutes into his
right.
Why don't they like him?
Well, it just doesn't fit the NBA mold, really, where a new coach comes in and he's kind of the hard-ass coach, you know, where he's tough on the players.
Like a high school coach.
Like a high school coach, right, yeah. That you're scared of. You're scared to go to practice because he's just going to yell at you for 2 hours straight and make you run, you know, sprints after practice. So it doesn't just fit the mold in the NBA where the players seem to kind of run the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a handful of coaches that kind of, like Greg Popovich in the Spurs, but that's a whole different element. For the most part, the players kind of run the show in the NBA. But when you got a young team and they're not winning, you needed something. And Fred Hoiberg was the opposite of Jim Boylan. It was like a country club there for the players, where he was very kind of easygoing, and the Bulls were like, well, that's not working. Let's go the complete opposite. And all the players were like, wait, what? We have to try and practice now? Oh, no.
Sign up for that.
And then there was
I don't think that was really the problem. It, with professional athletes, I don't think it's the issue of, well, they're not working hard enough, they're not motivated, their paychecks motivate them, and staying in the league and staying in shape to be able to put up with that stuff is just part of their job, right? I don't really see the laziness aspect in professional athletics being so much of an issue anymore.
Not necessarily laziness. I guess I worded it wrong. I guess more so how the coach is directing them. Remember, he wanted them to do a practice like right after back-to-back games, and that's kind of unheard of in the NBA and things like that. His approach just obviously hasn't been working.
Yeah, this hard-ass approach.
Right.
I am hard, but I am fair!
I mean, look at Tibbs now. He got canned in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right.
The John Fox or Tibbs?
No way, that is Tibbs! Tibbs is different than John Fox! I don't know exactly how, but he is.
Did Tibbs have a pet monkey?
Did not. But it sounded like this anyway. All right, you guys, you gotta run. See, I don't know. Somehow, Tibbs, though, was that they didn't like him when he was there either. The NBA needs a CEO guy. They need a guy who shows up in a suit, who's got, you know, some sort of like a slide rule and some sort of like computer algorithm that he's working on about inbounding, and that's all they need. And then they just, and then they turn and they let LeBron run the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's always one guy on the floor. You need a star.
Oh, and the NBA, although, no question about it.
Although the Lakers are not doing as well as they thought they were going to be doing by stacking everything up.
Well, they sort of knew it was going to be a year transition, and they're over 500. They've gone 3-7 since LeBron went down. He's been out the past 10 games with a groin injury. But that's a big of a difference. Lakers go from basically worst to potentially a playoff team with the addition of LeBron James. It's a superstar-driven league, like most are, but especially in the NBA. You need superstars.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Bulls don't have any yet.
No. They, every time they mention the Zach LaVine, I keep thinking about The Voice. Oh, no, that's Adam Levine.
He's going to be halftime for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Adam Levine. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck. I'd like to see the Blackhawks kind of figure something. I mean, Patrick Kane is like the only guy on the ice.
And he's unbelievable
right now. Gosh.
He had two goals and two assists last night.
Right, out of five.
Making it look easy.
Right, out of five. Mm-hmm. So he had a piece in four out of the five goals that they scored last night. And they still, but they gave up eight. Mm-hmm. See, again, here's the one thing I was trying to, when we had Jeremy Colliton on, like in his first game, first home game, didn't I try to express to him that the most important thing is that you have to score more goals? Because he's young. I figure he needs those.
Right.
You need, at the end of three periods, at the end of 60 minutes of regulation play, you have to have scored more goals than the other team.
And that was so groundbreaking. He said, wait a minute, let me write that down.
I don't know that he heard you, though. You might want to go and tell him again.
I can't let this slip through the cracks, bro.
He threw that piece of paper away.
Yes. All right. So we got that going for us. And as, just in our little sports segment here, as reported by our own Kevin Powell.
Uh-oh, what did I report?
The Bears are 12-1.
That's right.
To win or be in the Super Bowl?
To win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl next year.
Wow.
What were they? I think, weren't they 70-1 going
like
into the
season? Something like that, yes. 70-1, 80-1.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, which are the tied for fifth best odds in all of football. So you got to like that. Vegas always sort of knows what's going on, as our guy, you know, Vic tells us a lot. But they're right there in the thick of things. I don't think they're going anywhere, despite a tough schedule next season.
The toughest schedule.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's like, at one point, they actually play the United States Marine Corps with like 100 Marines versus them in one game. It's very weird.
Well, they play three of the four remaining teams.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that everybody except something. The Patriots. They've got the Chiefs, Rams, and Saints next year. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Just stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I told you we had a short window. I told you.
That window's that not over.
When Cody Parkey missed that field goal, that was the end of life as I know it. Sorry, Kev.
I'm not over it.
Sorry to drag you back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Kim Gordon standing by. She's got the WGN News brought to you by Grandview Homes.
Just give me that countryside.
Okay, now you might wonder why we're playing this.
Green Acres.
Because I kind of
love,
imagine why we're playing this too. So Green Acres meet the Chinese. The Chinese have launched a spaceship that has gone to the moon, landed on the moon, and is going to grow potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should I worry about this? I'm not sure what I should do about this.
The fact that it's China and not us.
All right, Gezgook is a PhD and an Adler scientist and astronomy director. And can you explain what are they up to? What why are we growing potatoes on the moon?
Hi, pretty much because you can.
Well, okay, I'm joking there. You're growing potatoes on the moon because one of these days we're going to want to actually live on the moon. And if you're going to live on the moon, you want to eat something. And if you want to eat something, you probably want to grow it there because shipping things up from the Earth is really expensive.
And is this going to work?
Well, in the long run, it will. Right now, no one has ever actually grown anything on the moon. We don't even know, you know, how seeds will respond to 1/6 gravity like the moon has. So it's an experiment worth doing to see how it works. Next step, I guess, would be to try to actually grow plants in the soil of the moon. But for right now, I think that the mission, the Chang'e mission, is actually using Earth, so to speak.
Now, does China share its research, what it gets, what it learns from this these growth experiments with the rest of the communities around the world? Like, do we get to learn about it too, NASA?
Yeah, so the results of these will probably be widely disseminated. It's sort of a form of bragging, right? You know, you can show how well you've done. It'll probably show up in different journals. I don't know whether there's a extraterrestrial agriculture journal or not, but I imagine it's probably going to show up in some.
I know. Hold on. I get it every month.
Yeah,
I get,
I'm sure you
yes,
do.
Yes, I get Mars Farmer every month. Now, that's Mars. I don't know about the moon, but
it
is.
Did you learn all about the Matt Damon experiments?
I did. Well, that's definitely. I was interested in it after seeing The Martian, so that's why I signed up for it.
I was kind of grossed out by that. I didn't want to know any more about it.
Well, now why? I guess the potato, because you grow it underground, right?
Well, I don't know exactly. I think potatoes are pretty well understood. They're, after all, a big crop, and so, you know, why not try it? I think they actually, the first one they got was a cottonseed, wasn't it?
That's what it says, a cottonseed.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to grow cotton.
They're going to try some sort of mustard, I think, and cotton, and then the potato.
Okay.
Maybe it's for a recipe, right?
Can you explain something to me? It's cold, isn't it, on the moon?
Well, it's either cold or it's hot. So it gets about the same amount of radiation as the Earth does, but it doesn't have that nice, comforting atmosphere blanket, so it either gets really hot or really cold.
So what? So all right, now I know that you guys have the Imagine the Moon thing going on at the Adler right now, right? And so explain what that is.
Well, it's a great show. You should all come and take a look at it. It basically looks at sort of how humans have looked at the moon, imagine the moon, starting from just the moon is a big disk in the sky, and then figuring out that no, the moon is actually a world. You know, when Galileo looked at the moon and saw mountains and craters and things like that. And then it sort of continues on to sort of, if it's a world, can we get there? And people's sort of imagination of how you can maybe have balloons or birds or something to get there. And then finally, Apollo actually really getting there, and then sort of all the research and understanding of the moon that's triggered. And then it sort of comes full circle.
To explain the whole deal.
About the imagination. Yeah.
What is the, so
it's great.
At its hottest, what does the moon get to?
Oh, wow. Maybe 120 degrees centigrade.
I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to do it in metric, and
I
swear to God, that does not help me in any way. What does that mean? Like, what would it
get in
Fahrenheit? More than boiling. Okay.
More than boiling.
Right, because 100 is boiling.
248.
240, yeah, 240, that's bad. And at the coldest,
what does it get? Oh, colder than Antarctica.
Okay. So,
I don't know the exact numbers.
All right.
But cold enough that you wouldn't want to be there without a spacesuit. Let's put it that way.
Right. Well, that's true. I did notice that Neil Armstrong did not take the suit off and, like, then tie the arms around his waist, you know, like, walk around. Like, they didn't do that.
Put a sun visor on.
Woo! Is it hot up here? I got to do that. Well, isn't that? I mean, there's the other piece of growing stuff. I thought oxygen is needed to grow stuff. How do they grow stuff without oxygen?
Well, they keep it in a closed container. So this is a plant in a box.
Okay.
So it's all closed. It's kept warm. It's kept cool if it gets too warm. There's oxygen there, moisture. It's all completely controlled. So
just like they did
a long way from
just like in The Martian, where he did it in, you know, like in enclosed space, mm-hmm. right?
Indoor, exactly.
Yeah. Does this sound like
in
cheating?
Fact, yeah.
This sounds like cheating. If they,
yeah, I know, it would be so much nicer. It'd be so much nicer if they just sort of, you know, started a tractor or something on the surface.
Yeah, exactly. That would, yeah, it'd be visually more stunning, and you know, for television that would be better. I don't know. I mean, it's like it doesn't really make. We could do this anywhere. Right, you go to the bottom of the ocean and you do this if you wanted to, right? If you could create an artificial environment, I don't know. I just don't think that the Chinese are doing anything that's exceptional. Now, if they wasn't growing pot on the moon, that'd be a totally different situation because that's very
well.
Hot
there are some people who are thinking about growing pot in orbit, but that's another story. but speaking of something different, the moon does have one thing the bottom of the ocean doesn't have, and that's that 1/6 gravity. Like gravity isn't as strong on the moon. Remember the moonwalk?
Right, bouncing around. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
So it's possible that would change things a little bit. So it's worth finding out, right?
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess we're going to find out. I guess the Chinese are going to find out. And if they're nice, they'll share. If they're not, they won't. I mean, we'll just have to see how it goes. Well, the internet, the space community, if I'm not mistaken here, the space community is pretty cooperative with each other.
They seem to get along,
right?
Don't they? Even the Russians and the Americans?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, there have been joint missions, and people tend to share. It's a pretty rough environment out there, so you want to share as much as you can.
Right.
I mean, we may have our differences with other nations, but the universe has a lot more difference with all of us.
Yeah, it's once you get off the ground is when it really counts, because once you get off the ground, you look back at it. I think anybody who has done that, and even when you go to the Adler and you get to see what that looks like from the perspective of, you know, the Earth from space, like Earthrise, that you know, very, very famous photograph. Then you get to realize that a lot of the stuff that we do here, that we get all animated about and all crazy about, really is worthless when you stop and you look from the moon back at the Earth and you go, hey, we're on a tiny little rock here, and it is, and we better get it right, because this is, for at least for the time being, it's the only place we're going to be.
Certainly don't want to destroy it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, that picture alone made the whole space program worth it. It just puts everything in perspective.
So we should be excited about this, because this is a step forward to humans being able to spend more time on the moon.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, we have to do this eventually. We can't stay as a one-planet kind of species, so... Now, one of these days.
I know. Yeah, I know. And you keep hearing these things about things zooming past us, that if they'd hit us, it would be a life-ending event on Earth or, you know, whatever it is. And then they go, well, there's a couple that we don't really know that much about, but we'll be able to know within 48 hours if they're heading toward us. You're like, that does not make me feel better at all. And then you got that thing up in the sky that's looking at all these other Earth-like planets.
Oh, God.
That is a very cool... That's in the last couple of weeks, because they put this telescope up that is, you know, looking very deep out into the out, you know, toward things, and it's a I'm not a scientist, so I have to say things like toward things, and it's pretty exciting, really, because you think, you know, there are other Earth-like environments out in space somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the big things in astronomy recently, is that all these extrasolar planets, thousands of them, have been discovered. And you know, when I was in school, nobody knew of any planets except the 9 around our sun. Now 8, I suppose.
Yeah, the Pluto thing.
Right,
it gets all of us when we read to our kids, and they're like, that's not a planet.
Why'd you have to bring that up? That depresses me when they take Pluto on and off. I just need to know from your perspective, and this is how I'm going to judge you from this point forward, Dr. Cook. What is Pluto? Planet, not a planet.
Pluto's a wonderful world.
That wasn't the answer.
No, you know what he's.
For.
I know he's going for there. He doesn't want to be judged by the other scientists in the field that are going to somehow go, oh.
So uh-huh.
That is very much. It's a very controversial thing.
It's very.
You don't want to stake a position if you don't have to. I'm going with Pluto's a planet, and I don't care who knows it. All right, doctor. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Go see Imagine the Moon at the Adler going on right now. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, let's
Adler's
check in.
A special place.
Yes, it is. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. Find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Roe funeral arrangements set for the Illinois state trooper killed over the weekend.
Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We have I don't like the sound of the weather forecast.
No. I mean, it's January in Chicago. You expect us to deal with a little bit of Arctic air, shall we say?
Snow is not scaring me. It's looking at a lot of teens and single digits coming up here.
I thought you said earlier that when Lollapalooza's in town, you won't look at the teens.
You just looked at the teens.
Damn it.
I thought you were going all
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Blindfold.
Where's the Gillette guy to remind me? Not cool, bro.
Yeah, really. So not a Gillette man.
Damn it. I got to get my act together, guys. I'm slipping here.
As you look ahead in the forecast, okay, I don't want to alarm anybody, but I would like to panic myself, and I'd like to quietly panic.
Quietly,
for just this moment.
When have you ever quietly?
I'm going.
Panicked?
This is me quietly panicking. There's going to be like a foot of snow, and then Arctic temperatures starting Saturday. That's me quietly panicking.
Zero is not a temperature. That's all I have to say. That's Sunday.
Oh, no. By the way, that is I love that R. Kelly song from back in the day.
Oh, God. I think, I'm going to leave that alone. Yeah. There's some other, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, the point is that we are in for real winter now.
And you can't sleep on February. February is it's my like underdog pick that always comes. You're like, we're in the clear. It's February 1st. And then there's some guys like, we got 72 inches of snow coming.
It is true that you are going to get, because as the season's starting to change, as you kind of get, as I think they like to call it a zonal flow, as it turns, you get something very wacky that happens because you get a big Pacific, I hate to get all Tom Skilling on you, but you get like a big Pacific moist air mass that comes up and then it gets sideswiped by an Arctic lobe. And next thing you know, it's 17 inches of snow and there are people trudging across Lakeshore Drive because all lanes are blocked in all directions, and they're going into all the fancy high rises on Lakeshore Drive and asking if they can use the phone.
In your bathroom, please.
Right. The next thing. Things were going too well here.
Mm-hmm.
You notice that?
You can't settle.
Yeah, I know.
You
and I like that
alert,
idea.
Head on a swivel.
Let me tell you something else. You can't sleep on the first 2 weeks of March either.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
That's true.
Because in your mind, you are already done with it because you survived a lot of snow and Arctic air and stuff. But then by March, you're right.
Right.
You get hit.
Because the second week of March now, they turn the clocks back for us, which is nice. I like that. So that we get, you know, it's 7 o'clock when the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with that is sometimes it's 7 o'clock with the sun going down and another foot of snow is on the way. I'm just saying.
February and March, can't trust them.
No,
trust them.
No. You know, and the thing is that I like the global warming a lot. I know that there's the people that don't like it. I know there's people that don't believe in it. I happen to believe in it and I happen to embrace it. Because I think it's going to make Chicago a beach destination eventually. I mean, it lasts long enough to see it, but like a year-round beach destination. And the thing is, I come to kind of depend on the winters being mild. And then when I look at things like this, and you know, and Skilling's been telling us this whole time that it was going to be okay this year. It was going to be cool. It was going to be all right. It was going to be like the winter was going to be. There's going to be some blast like this because it's going to get warm again, then cold again. And we've sort of seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I see like the trailing off into the nothing but zeros.
Yeah, and those winds kicking up and the sub-zero wind chills are in the forecast for the weekend. And that's, you know, that's brutal.
Yeah.
We had a good run.
We did.
Winter's about to kick our ass.
How do we ever live through it?
We're so strong. We're real strong.
Alcohol.
I always wanted to know. The thing is, I wanted to know, and I always think about this at this time of year. I'm just thinking about the Native American tribes that lived here.
Oh, man.
And you're like, what are you thinking?
Right, right? Huddled around their teepees.
Right, exactly.
Like there's no clothing on.
With a fur. I mean, they were big into fur.
Big on fur.
Right, you know, they would trap a skunk or whatever it was that was running around.
Maybe you heard of animal rights.
Well, to be fair, really, didn't half of the tribes die during the winter because of all the different diseases?
Oh, thanks. Nice.
Now, Is that how it used to work?
It was before, like an Eagle song, before the white man came and ruined all of that. I mean, you know, for the hundreds, thousands of years that they were wandering around here, And they were, and then, you know, if they only knew about the Seminole down in Florida that were like just enjoying themselves with casinos
right.
and sun, and they were living to be 90, and they were complaining uh-huh. about they were going to dinner earlier.
They didn't need to trap furs.
Right. They didn't. They were just, you know, sitting down there living that life.
Mm-hmm.
If they'd only known about that, they would have gone down there too.
Had they had an iPhone back then.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what Donald Trump said. All right. Andre Dahl is going to explain the reporters to us coming up right after we have this short time out.